I have a little exhortation to the young people. So if you want to feel young, then receive this exhortation. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So I'm just going to talk very briefly about Christmas, about the holidays, and what America has done to Christmas, and what we all have in our collective thinking about Christmas and the holidays. There are many emotions that the holidays evoke, day after day, the whole time through the whole thing. Some of it's about presents. Some of it's about spending money. It can be about watching old Christmas movies. It can be about getting all those boxes out and putting things away and putting other things out and decorating. It can be about thinking, what are we going to eat? Who's going to cook it? Who's going to clean up? What relatives are coming? How are they going to act? So many things. You could say a lot more. Some of us bring into it, wow, my weird Christmases when I was little, and Uncle Fred got drunk and argued with Grandpa, who also got drunk, and Mom cried, and, you know, Dad was in jail, and I never got any presents. Those aren't even far-fetched, right? That's like a lot of people's Christmas. Or some of us are like, Christmas was wonderful. Mom made all the good food. I always got good presents. Everybody got along. You know, Grandma and Grandpa came over. You know, different things, all different, and we all have that stuff. So I have one more verse. What did I put up? Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? That's kind of a tough scripture right there. I just want to exhort us as much as we can every day, several times a day, let it be about Jesus. I know we all know this. We hear it every Christmas, every holiday season. But as much as possible, get off of the treadmill and the rat race and the stress and let it be Jesus Christ left heavenly places, came to earth, Emmanuel, dwelt among us, was born, dwelt among us, and lived a pure, holy life to be the pure sacrificial lamb, to save us from sin. We need to pull back from the stuff that enslaves our mind. You know, even though it's lawful, all these things are good. Christmas tree, I want the cutest Christmas tree. I want the best, wonderful meal. I'm going to get the best presents and wrap them really cute. You know. It's all lawful, but it's not always edifying. So let's keep it simple. So, Father, bless us all. Bless the young people as they learn to set their lives on how am I going to celebrate the holidays? What's going to be my attitude from moment to moment? Help all of us to keep it about you. Have an attitude of gratefulness and get rid of the stress. Stop piling on stress and hang out with you, Lord. So, yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brenda. Good. Helps us get set for Christmas right around the corner. How you doing? You sure look good. Most of you. I'm not quite comfortable here. Here we go. There was a husband who was quietly reading his newspaper when his wife snuck up behind him and hit him with a frying pan. He said, "What was that for?" She said, "That was for the piece of paper I found in your pocket that had the name Mary Lou on it." He said, "Honey, that was the name of one of the horses I bet on at the racetrack last week." So, wow, she apologized profusely and went about her business. But two days later, she hit him on the head with an even bigger frying pan. He said, "What in the world was that for?" And she said, "Your horse just called." Speaking of horses, I have great affection for horses because I had one when I was a kid on our farm, and I rode it all over the 320 acres. So this is a horse motif joke here. So there was this pastor who bought a new horse who trained it to understand that praise the Lord meant giddy up. And hallelujah meant whoa. So every time you said praise the Lord, the horse took off running. And every time you said hallelujah, he immediately stopped. One time the pastor was riding, and the horse got spooked and took off galloping full speed straight toward a cliff. In his panic, he could not remember what word to use for whoa. So he tried different words. Bless God. Glory. And at the last second, he said hallelujah, and the horse screeched to a stop just inches from the edge of the cliff. Whew. Pastor breathed. Huge sigh of grateful relief and said, praise the Lord. Yeah. We've been talking in this series in the last few weeks about kingdom delights, and we're highlighting 24 kingdom delights. There's way more than that, but we're highlighting 24 of them, and we're going to continue that today. By way of introduction, I'd like to us to look at a verse and a quote. 1 Corinthians 4:18 reads, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen." We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. J.I. Packer, a theologian from the UK, wrote, "The life of heaven begins here. That's how we should understand life in the spirit. It's heaven begun." And who would like to volunteer to, if you can hear me out in the lobby, if you need to visit, whisper please. Maybe Mal, you could help me with that, make sure. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but I also don't want to be distracted or have anyone else distracted. Mr. Mickelson, ninth grade school teacher, Cascade Christian High School, right there. God is very much concerned about the landscape of our lives, outward landscape. He does want us to have a good life as we project into the future, to have us pray for stuff that we want to see changed in our future, in our present, in our future. We're always looking ahead to and praying about stuff that we're hoping and believing and we're working for in our lives, that progress, that increase, that favor for our future. That's our outer landscape. But more important than our outer landscape, as important as that is and as much as God cares about it, is our inner landscape. There is an inner scape that each of us carry. Some of us carry quite a bit of toxic emotions and negative feelings in our inner scape. Some of us, all of us in different seasons of our journey have massive temptation in our inner scape. Some of us have disappointments or great victories, great joys. God wants us to focus on the unseen world, the kingdom of heaven, so that the kingdom of heaven and the Holy Spirit, and I think of that verse, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. So in our inner scape, God wants the giving of the Holy Spirit, the flooding of the Holy Spirit from our innermost being into our innerscape to be dominant and to bring the other kingdom delights with him when he comes. And he does. The kingdom of God is within us. And when we have our innerscape peaceful and filled with the Spirit, filled with the affection of the Father, and filled with the presence of kindest person you'll ever meet, Jesus Christ, the reality of his kindness and love and mercy and compassion and authority and victory on the inside, not only is that our larger reality than our outward landscape, it actually affects our outward landscape positively. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All those things will be added to you. Somehow or other, if we aggressively pursue those outward things without any reference to the inner landscape, he that finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, going after the inner landscape, the kingdom, there are occasions when people look at you because of your bliss in your inner landscape, and they wonder, what are you, high? What is, you emit an aura, a atmosphere-changing anointing that is impossible to not discern. And we don't have that inner landscape change in order to make that happen for other people. It just is a wonderful fringe benefit. Let's read our verse. This is our declaration for this whole eight weeks series, in which we're covering 24 kingdom delights. Excuse me. Let's read this together. Fill our hearts with faith, our lungs with air. Say it nice and loudly all together. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. My friends, the things above are not distant from you. And they're not just future. They're not distant in the future or distant way out there behind Mars somewhere. The things above are within reach. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's the kingdom of God is right there. That's above. I mean, just a little look up and there's Jesus right there with us. Are you glad to know that? So we're not setting our affections just on our eternal future, but our eternal now. I love this sermon. We all are wired for the presence of heaven, not just the hope of heaven in the future, but the reality of heaven now. We're wired for it. In the prayer room before the service today, I was asked to sit in a certain seat so people could pray for me. And I felt like I was being invited to sit in an electric chair. Heaven's electricity. Then I remembered, I'm already dead. And my life is hid with Christ in God. So I'm okay. And I felt heaven's electricity. It felt that's a metaphor that's valid and beautiful. Many people go through life without that kingdom inner life. And they're a little bit of like this turkey. Would you agree with me that outside of Jesus, life does not deliver what it promises? The enemy doesn't deliver what he promises us? Would you agree with that? I know we're pretty much done with Thanksgiving discussion, but I thought I would have one final little. Watch a documentary about Jim Carrey, the comedian, the actor, the other evening. And he said something rather poignant. He's actually turned into more of a philosopher / theologian in his current season. And I want to tell you, he's this far from the kingdom. The way he's talking about Jesus and some other things, he's not quite there. But he's going to hang around the creek bed long enough. He's going to slip in. One of the things he said in this documentary was, I wish I had the power to give everybody the success and the wealth that I've achieved so they would know it's empty and I am still unhappy. And you would still be unhappy. We all have an inner desire for the more to life. I was at a 29-year-old young man's door doing home-to-home evangelism yesterday afternoon. Shared the gospel with him. And before he committed his life to Christ, he wanted to visit. He said, I've got a couple questions. And they weren't defensive questions. They were honest, sincere, authentic, genuine heart questions. One was, are you religious? Is this just part of who you are? Or is Jesus your whole life? And I could tell by his question that he was hoping that what I was offering is something that was bigger than himself. Something that he wasn't in control over. Something that he was doing just to sort of placate conscience or be a better person, but something he could be passionate about. And I was happy to tell him about the kingdom and about the King of the kingdom. And he prayed to ask Jesus into his heart with tears running down his cheeks. It's a beautiful moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of our time together today. If you're not sure you are in touch with the kingdom or the king. And at home you can join us in touching Jesus too and welcoming into your heart. Number 10 of our 24 kingdom delectables, our kingdom delights that we're reveling in this series, is the kingdom delight of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. And we can pass out the communion elements now because right smack in the middle of this teaching, we're going to receive an experience of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ through our eye gate and our taste gate, not just our ear gate. So wait until they're all distributed and then we will share them together. There are many verses we could refer to, but one of my favorite is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, to talk about the substitutionary atonement of Christ. I wonder if that doesn't mean anything to you. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's kind of a theological phrase, but it's worthy of, if you don't have any clue what I'm referring to when I say substitutionary atonement of Christ, listen and learn. What I'm referring to is the fact that we are all on death row. The wages of sin is death, thought, word, or deed. And if you just sin 3 times a day in thought, word, or deed, in a year you'd have over 1,000 violations of the law. And even in America, you wouldn't have some kind of repercussion from that. The wages of sin, God says, is death. He doesn't say it meanly. He says it with a heart of compassion with tears in his eyes. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The judge, God, as I am reminded every time I sign my name, Daniel, which means God is my judge. The judge is visiting you in your cell on death row and saying, I've got some good news. I am taking your place in your cell here on death row. And you get to go free. And by the way, you're not getting to go free as a guilty person that's just getting out. You are going free justified, which means just as if you'd never sinned ever. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. you are going out innocent as far as everyone in the world is concerned and as far as God is concerned and as far as you are concerned in your innermost personhood, you can declare, I am innocent. Because I, the judge, am taking your place on death row and will die in your place. By the way, I'll rise from the dead and I'll be your best friend forever after that. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This verse, Hebrews 9, verse 12, reads, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. In the Old Testament, the ancient Hebrews offered blood sacrifices of goats and calves. And once a year, the high priest went into the holiest of holy places. Just once a year. No more, but no less. With the blood of goats and bulls, goats and calves, he went in with a rope tied around his foot into the holiest of holies. In case he died in there, they wouldn't have to go in after him. They could pull him out. And when Jesus expired on Golgotha's cross, the curtain that separated the holiest of holies from the holy place, 3 feet thick, was supernaturally torn from the top to the bottom as a prophetic declaration that because the judge died in our place, we have access to the holiest of holy places 24/7. Praise you, and I thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you. If we approach him in childlike faith. Dennis Sanders and I mentioned, rescued a guy named Steve. We heard across our, when we arrived at, we were going to limit out on our fishing. We heard a cry of help and a horn honking. And when we bravely, with pistols drawn, approached the scene of hopefully someone not crying for help because someone else was injuring them or something, or fear of that, we found Steve, who had disabled in his pickup, stuck up to, almost to the axles of his pickup. He'd been there for over 24 hours. And when some of our, he was so glad to see us. But one of the things he said was, you know, I got a brand new battery for this truck. Didn't really help, did it? He said, I have a cell phone, but there's no service. Didn't help, did it? He said, these tires are almost brand new. Didn't help, did it? There was only one thing that could help, and that is someone. I mean, he had a spoon in his truck. And he tried to dig himself out. Didn't help, did it? The only thing, I mean, that's what our efforts are that way. Our religious efforts are like trying to dig ourselves out of mud with a spoon. No way, not even close. We need someone to come and get in the mud with us and to dig us out. And Jesus did that. He came into your muddiest spot, your muddiest life moment. Your deepest sorrow, your deepest guilt, your deepest sin. He went there on his cross. And he rose from the dead to make sure you were just as if I'd never sinned. Hallelujah. We've come to the kingdom. And in the kingdom, one of the things in the kingdom, we've come to the blood of the sacrifice, which speaks a better word than that of Abel. What did Abel's blood shout from the ground about his brother Cain? God says to Cain, your brother's blood shouts from the ground that you are guilty. The blood of Jesus on Golgotha's ground, at the foot of his cross, which, because we transcend time, is still a very present tense for God and you and me. It's not shouting guilt, it's shouting you're innocent. You're not just guilty set free. You're just as if I'd never sinned. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself has been superimposed on you and on me. How are you today? I'm perfect in Jesus' eyes. I like this sermon. I go deep with it. I'm only going to do one kingdom delight this time. It's just the atonement. And the other will do in the future. How are you? That's what I want to hear. There was this dad in Armenia in 1989, and a huge earthquake hit. It took only 4 minutes to flatten the nation and kill 30,000 people. Some of you remember reading about it. Some of you were just a gleam in your dad's eye way before your time. And a dad, as soon as the shaking stopped, got as fast as he could to his son's elementary school and found it flattened. But he kept hearing his son's, his promise to his son. No matter whatever happens, I'll always be there for you. And he started to dig. Other parents arrived and they sobbed and said, don't even try. They're gone. Police came by several times and said, man, you're wasting your time. Those guys are gone. Those kids are gone. But he kept thinking what he had promised his little boy. No matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. He dug 10 hours straight. His hands were raw. He dug 20 hours. He dug 30 hours straight. 38 hours before he finally moved a certain boulder. And he heard his son's voice. He called his son's name, Armand, Armand. Kid was a third grader. Dad, it's me. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, you would save me. And when you save me, that they would be saved too, because you promised no matter what, I'll always be there for you. That's love. The Apostle Paul said about Jesus, he loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus climbed into your mud to pull you out, to rescue you. And Jesus climbed into your earthquake destruction and mine too. Some caused by other people, some caused by me. And better yet, sometimes, some still being caused by me. He doesn't quit pursuing us. He doesn't give us the down payment and then we have to make up the rest of the payments. He's a pursuing God. And sometimes his sheep go astray. And his promise is, no matter what cliff you're stuck on, he's going to come get you. And he may come with... As a good parent, did you always just use honey or did you ever use vinegar? I found that teaching school and parenting involved honey and vinegar. thoughts about hell, what death might be like with outside of Jesus, that's vinegar. The Bible says in Hebrews, if you're never disciplined, you have something to worry about. I'm not saying anything bad that's ever happened to you is from God. I'm just saying that there are occasions when you have a sense that this is God loving me right now. And he'll tell you when it's one of those times. And it's never condemning, and it's always, let me take your hand and pull you out of this earthquake that you find yourself in right now. Because I got better things for you. In that movie, The Heart of a Man, maybe some of you have seen that. Maybe you want to plug your ears if you want to see it, and I'm going to spoil it here for you. But essentially, father and son are playing a violin with great joy together. He decides to jump off a cliff and chase self-destruction, a particular young lady. When he finally arrives to the young lady, she turns into a monster. And he finds himself, his violin smashed and being tormented in this cave by all kinds of monsters and demons and craziness. And then it's not like he hears the Father's voice, repent, you jerk, and come back to me. No, the Father comes into the cave, and guess what? He's got a violin for himself as a dad, and he's got a violin for his son. And they play right there in the cave and walk out hand in hand. It's a parable. It's a rendition of the prodigal son that's very poignant and powerful. Our deepest loss, our greatest shame, Jesus comes, the Father comes, the Holy Spirit comes right into that to give us redemption. That's what this is about. And this is present tense for us. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that, can we have Pat come up with music? That as we participate in the loaf, we are participating or fellowshipping in intimate fellowship with the actual death of Jesus on the cross. When we participate or fellowship the cup, we are fellowshipping, koinonia-ing, participating with the blood of Jesus on Golgotha's cross. In my 70 kingdom delectables, kingdom delights that I go through and praise and thank God for, some of them every single day, I love it when I get to this one because it is the most beautiful kingdom delight to me of all. And that is, I am present tense with Golgotha's cross, which is present tense to the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world. And at the same time, in the book of Revelation, he is the slain one. Forever we will be able to see his scars. But because of our timelessness, because there is a dimension, we are limited to time and forced to live sequentially in time according to our humanity. But there's also a dimension, and we've been talking about this, and our affections are set on the things above. We are present tense, seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. And these kingdom delectables and kingdom delights are present tense to us. And I love it that I can stand before Golgotha's cross and see the blood going down and see the sword, the spear going into his side and seeing the blood come out and water. And I can listen to Jesus tell his mom about the apostle John, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. I can hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because you know what? That's what he's saying to me, about me too, and about you. Don't be embarrassed if I get a bit teary. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody's emotions. I'm just thinking that I just want to remind you the word emotion isn't even in the Bible. It's a psychological term that came onto Western society way later. The Bible uses the word heart.
where we put emotion now. And his heart is for you at Golgotha's cross and for me. And we are standing before his presence right now. The timeless moment of the Son of God expiring and saying over your life, it's finished. You are redeemed. And I'm redeemed. Let's experience that as we participate and koinonia the body of Christ right now. Share it together. And the blood of Christ right now. Share together. Close your eyes. Give you a chance to say yes to Jesus, yes to you. If you've never responded to Jesus and want to be born from above and experience the delectables of the kingdom, this is your day. I'm looking to my far right. Look up and catch my eye if you were saying yes to Jesus. Otherwise, I'll misunderstand. Are you doing that, young lady? Thank you. Are you doing that, ma'am? Is that what you're doing too, right now? Okay, you're already born again. There's someone else here. My middle right section, look up and catch my eye. We have one recommitment and one salvation. My left middle section. Wave at me if I miss you. Far left. Okay. For the sake of this one person, make it easier for them. Pray this short prayer with me, line for line, everybody participating. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive all my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. I am saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. We want to clap and cheer for you, young lady, so stand up right now. We all did this one time ourselves. We're proud of you. God bless you. Jeannie and team have some words of knowledge for God confirming his word with signs following.
His stripes, we are healed. We also know that Psalm 103 verse 3 says he forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. So anyone watching on the live feed and you hear a word, take it to yourself for your healing. Someone has a left knee that's been throbbing. And also a right forearm. Someone has right forearm that you've been in a sling or you've had to have a support for it. Lord wants to heal those.
Christ, we are made complete. And I just believe that there's someone with lower abdomen issues that need to be made complete. And also another one is that it may be your very first time that you would come up for prayer and you feel shy, but God is meeting you up here. And I just say, have courage, have grace. You have grace to come up. God sees you. It's okay.
Someone's had a recent disappointment and you can't shake feeling disheartened. So, I want to pray for you.
Disheartened. Someone's feeling disheartened because of a disappointment.
So if the holidays are a bad time for you, or you feel like you're just going to be stressed, if you're going to be stressed during these holidays, then let's dispel that in Jesus' name. Come up for prayer.
I got the word strength, or I think it's strength. I think it was. It's if you want the Lord's strength into being able to overcome anything that is in your path, and don't feel like He's there. He is there for you, and that's what I got from Him today.
I got chronic back pain. That it sometimes is very intense, and then other times it's really light. But you know it's there. And if that's you, please come up and let me pray for you.
And then, of course, anything else you might need prayer for, if it wasn't called, come on up and receive prayer. And joy. Oh.
Joy in the Holy Ghost right here.
Okay.
Can do anything, and He wants to do it for you. You that have sinus issues, and it just seems like you can't get rid of them, aches and pains and stomach issues, come down. I got scripture for you. I'll give you.
He's got a word for you, so come on down. Stomach and sinuses.
Let's stand up. Pray a blessing on you before we go, and before people come up and get prayer for things, for miracles. We have an environment, an atmosphere of faith for mighty, amazing miracles. Put your hand on your heart. I want to bless your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your kingdom delectables, delights, the revelation of the death of Jesus and His resurrection is staggering and stunning. And we are so moved by that moment in history. And we praise You, Jesus, that You are our loving friend that rescues us from us in every earthquake and chases us when our, like a sheep, we've gone astray once. And You pull us to Yourself when we play violins together, God. We bless You, King Jesus. You are beyond wonderful, beyond words wonderful, God. We love You, and may Your resurrection power and fire continue to invigorate us and astonish us every day. In Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week today.